Messages from the foot of the cross. This segment is titled Kumi. Kumi, that is rise, rise up. It's of Chaldean origin, and it is used very specifically in Mark 5:41. Let's look at the context of the story, though. It is about a man who was the ruler of the synagogue, and his daughter died, and they called for Jesus. While he yet spake, that is Jesus, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he says to the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and sees the tumult and those that wept and wailed greatly. And when he came in, he says to them, "Why make you this ado and weep? The girl is not dead, but sleeps." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he took the father and mother of the girl and those that were with him, and enters in where the girl was lying. And he took the girl by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha, Talitha, kumi, kumi," which is to be interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the girl arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Jesus raised the dead, even the dead in the synagogues, even the religious leaders, their children. He has power to over death and hell. And he was a sign, and we raise the dead in his name, that he will raise the dead in the last day, and that we will have everlasting life. The Greek word for kumi, or a word akin in Greek to the Chaldean kumi, is the idea of collecting one's facilities to waken, to rouse literally from sleep, sitting or lying from disease, from death, or figuratively from obscurity and activity ruins, non-existence, to wake, lift up, raise up again, up, rear up, rise up, stand up, take up. Let's look at the story Jesus talks about to the crowds in Luke 11:28. Jesus said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up," that is egiro, the Greek word to rise up, as in kumi, little girl, rise up. "In the judgment, she will rise from the dead." This is the judgment seat of God Almighty in eternity. "She will rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here." A greater than Jonah is here. Yeshua, Jesus, is greater than Jonah. He is God in the flesh. Jesus continues to teach, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the light bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Now, all of this Jesus talks to people who he is trying to instruct them and show them the way. He is the light. And when we receive Jesus, the darkness that's in us is dissipated. It flees. It runs away. And we arise and shine. And we let our light be seen before men. And we testify. And we are on a lampstand. And we are on a hill shining bright and light. But if we become fall into darkness, that's not good. We need to be careful. There is a warning here that our eye not becomes bad and full of darkness, because our judgment will be greater, having known and seen the light and followed it and then turned away back into darkness. A warning. Now Jesus is going to come. And when he comes, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about the men who were ordained and who were walking in darkness and became, let's look at the passage, because it's a very interesting passage, who these men were that is being referred to by Jude, that he said that there were dreamers, men who defile the flesh and reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries. Even the Michael the Archangel, when he contended with the devil and disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against the devil a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." They're evil, these evildoers, whatever they speak evil, whatever they do not know, whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, they corrupt themselves. They've gone the way of Cain, greedily in the air of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. They are spots in our love feasts, and they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, powering up to have their best life now, speaking the gospel to get gain for this life, and not laboring for that which does not perish like bread, but that for which is eternal. This is what we are to labor for. Now, Enoch, these spots in the love feast, while they feast with you without fear, they serve only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. Late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of sea, foaming up their own shame. Wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. This puts the terror of God. And we persuade men because of the terrors of God not to go this way or follow these kinds of people. These are ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men. He said, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. They are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Had they told you that there would be mockers in the last times who would walk according to their own ungodly lust? These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire and hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. Now, to him is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. That is Jude. That's a straight up preach right out of the book of Jude. Praise the name of the Lord. He is coming with 10,000s and 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on the wicked.